Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us. And I want to remind you, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. And this evening we have a very special guest. But first, Dr. Allen, you are live and on the air.
I'm glad to be here and willing to work.
Beautiful. Well, I believe we're super excited. He's going to be here with us, Mr. Robert K. Storr. And I love when you two get to chit-chatting. Robert, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, good afternoon. I'm great. It's so good to hear your voice. Thanks. How are you all doing?
Oh, we're doing excellent. I'm going to let you chit-chat with Dr. Allen.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Kelly.
You bet.
Okay. Robert?
Yes. Hi, Dr.
Exactly.
Allen. How are you today?
How many years have we known each other?
I think I stopped counting, but I think it's over 30 years now.
And it went really, really fast. I was one of the people that supervised you for your licensed marriage, family, child therapist, right?
You were one of the...
Oh, good. Excellent.
When the universe lines thing up that you didn't expect, and here you are, and as a result, you have helped me and thousands of people through me.
I so appreciate you. You are so gifted and so spiritually sound that I'm really honored to be in any connection with you. But this subject that we're going to talk about, suicide, which in my world became super noticeable when that beautiful woman, Miss USA, killed herself. And you'd think that a beautiful human being, Miss USA, wasn't.
Well, thank you for asking. So there are several things that I have noted in my life when the universe, I say, i.e. God, sort of lines things up. And I gave a talk once on sometimes it's not always the positive, wonderful moves like getting to meet you and having you not only influence me, but support me, create a relationship and a bond and an education that would go on to change me and move me into changing other people's lives. But the other thing that happened in my life during our relationship was I had a 15-year relationship with a man and we raised his son together. And one day when our business went abruptly upside down and things collapsed and our financial security sort of disappeared, he left the relationship. And shortly after he left the relationship, he took his life. He died by suicide. And what I share with people about him and about my story is he, like this particular woman, young woman, this 30-year-old, Miss USA, Chelsea Christ, death came as a total surprise because he was a bright, shining star, gregarious, outgoing, the kind of person that people love to be around at parties. And the thing that I want to share at sort of the beginning of what I'm sharing is I, after the relationship ended, went on to work in a clinic in a hospital, and one of my clinicians brought in someone to talk about suicide prevention. Now, at the time, I was a manager, so I said, I don't really need to attend this, and I went back to my office to do paperwork. Only 6 months later, I would lose Troy Dunn, my former partner, to suicide. What it taught me at that time is that suicide could happen to anybody. And because it is something that we can't see with our eyes and that people are suffering from too much stigma to talk about, we have to be the ones paying attention to the mental health and the situations that are occurring around us with people that may not say or look or disclose anything. And so I learned very unfortunately that I was not looking at him as somebody who would die by suicide. But in retrospect, when I looked at his life in the last part of his life, he gave all the clear signs and signals that somebody that was about to die by suicide would. And as you know, I went on after that experience to become the clinical director and then the director of the largest suicide prevention center in the United States here in Los Angeles to learn everything I could learn and to make sure that I shared information about that. So this tragedy to look beyond someone's physicality, their personality, their charm, their looks, deeper into understanding that there may be issues and they're complex issues. You know, we can't see the depression. Potentially, we might not be able to see some of the neurological conditions that predispose this or the mental health conditions that we didn't know about for her. But she was someone who was suffering, and I think her mother shared some of that about her. But because we don't ask if you're thinking about suicide, if you're thinking about dying by suicide, we don't ever get access to that information. So if you're listening today to this show, I hope you take away a little bit of information about how you can save or help somebody potentially save their life. Not that we're responsible, but if we become aware and conscious and begin to pay attention, we can understand the heart beating in all of us. We don't know what we may have high cholesterol, high blood pressure, but the person may look fine from the outside. But unless somebody like a medical doctor is doing the analysis, they're not going to be able to diagnose and check for symptoms of heart problems. And it's the same thing with suicide. Unless somebody is doing the analysis of the mental health conditions, the neurological conditions, the sociological, sometimes crisis situations that arise, doctors aren't asking. And often patients that die by suicide will see their physician and in some case their therapist. So I want to share today that if you are listening, be willing to pay attention if you're getting an intuitive thought or feeling that the people around you are suffering. We have to have the courage to actually ask the words, are you thinking of doing something like suicide? Are you feeling so bad that you don't want to be here anymore? Are you in a situation? And there are certain signs that we need to look at or look for. You know, it's like heart disease. Not everybody is suffering from heart disease. Not everybody has a heart history or high cholesterol, or high blood pressure, or is overweight. But those that are, we need to check. And so I can share some of those signs as well, if you would like. But that's a little bit of information about where I got to.
So what is that information?
So what you want to know is suicide is a complex issue. And it isn't just oftentimes we see in the media, it looks like somebody dies because they had a bad situation. Like I think Jim Carrey lost his girlfriend out here in Los Angeles. So they said, well, her heart was broken and she died by suicide. No, the reality is she probably had a mental health condition. She probably had some other things going on. So there's several signs that we look for, and we call them risk factors. If somebody has a mental health condition, it's important to know that they may be fine, but a certain disorder like depression or bipolar are more likely to be prone to suicidal thoughts. And if that's the case, then we need to know the history of that person. Do they have a history of suicide in their family? Or have they ever had a suicide attempt? Or have they ever talked about suicide? So if we're not a clinician and not asking about that, if we notice somebody talks about it, is looking at it, is speaking about it, that's also a sign somebody might be sharing with you. And one of the myths is that if they talk about it, they don't mean it. They're not going to do it. And the truth is, if they talk about it, they are probably trying to communicate to us that they're thinking about it. So, you know, we can start by looking at risk factors like do you have a mental health condition? Do you have a history in your family? Do you have you ever had an attempt? Are you in a high risk group? LGBTQ, veterans, first responders, police, all of these people, individuals who suffered trauma as a child or significant trauma as an adult, people who've lost someone to suicide, all of these or been exposed to suicide, all of these are potential risk factors that start to, paint a picture of somebody who may be likely to think about suicide? And then we need to differentiate, if you're thinking about it, have you thought about it to the point of thinking about how you would do it? And if we can get that far, then we can get people help. The thing to know is 95% of the time on our crisis lines, of the over 100,000 calls we would receive a year, you can de-escalate and help somebody. And if you can get them through that crisis, oftentimes, and get them the help, they won't die by suicide. But we have to be the ones that are comfortable looking around and seeing who fits that risk category, who knows they're in first response. These people have already been traumatized either by combat duty, or if you're a first responder, a policeman, they've been traumatized by the work they do every day. Again, it doesn't mean they will all die by suicide, but we need to put that picture together. The last piece that you would look at, if I have somebody with these risk factors and they enter a crisis, financial crisis, a relationship crisis, a job loss, a loss of a friend, a family member, or a partner, a husband or a wife, something significant where it not only affects them, but it also interacts with the other factors we've talked about. Now you have a recipe that could lead to disaster. So I have somebody with the risk factors who's entering a crisis, and if they change behavior in terms of substance abuse, using more substances, engaging in a higher risk behavior, or doing something that doesn't make sense, withdrawing more, being more rageful, angry, these are symptoms that may contribute to knowledge that this person could be likely to die by suicide. So again, understanding the risk factors could be a history of mental health condition coupled with an exposure to trauma or suicide, and then looking for warning signs. If that person suddenly enters a crisis and they start acting differently, their mood changes, they engage in more risk behavior, increased substance abuse or other types of risky behavior, then it's time for us to have the courage to step in and talk to them. Now, again, we don't have to be the person that saves their lives, nor can we be responsible for that. But if we talk to them, we can often get them to a clinician, or we can call a suicide prevention line, and we can look and talk to somebody about it so we get more information. So those are some of the things that I know we can do to potentially help somebody by suicide. Well, that's a great statement. So I think the thing to make sure that we don't do is we don't ignore or withdraw from the person, or most importantly, you don't ever want to tell somebody that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. We often tell people that it's important to tell people that it's okay to talk about it, to make sure that we don't ever say something like, I think one of the keys that you and I probably know best is that when you are dealing with anybody with a problem, the last thing they want to hear is your suggestion for a solution, or, you know, to have the problem minimized, or told things like, something that's very, inappropriate, or a reaction to something that, you know, you can otherwise figure out how to take care of. You need to know that people who are thinking about suicide, they have gotten to a point where that seems like a relevant solution. And if you start telling them it's not, or they shouldn't think about it, or they shouldn't do it, we can't do that. We can say you have every right to do that. However, let's look at ways that we can get you some help, or tell me, even if you don't want to say that, tell me what's going on and let me just listen. And if you listen without giving feedback or advice or a solution, and you just listen with empathy, if you're telling me it's gotten so bad you want to die by suicide, that must be really awful. Can you tell me more about that? And if you can listen with empathy without giving advice and feedback, often you want to die. The key to suicide prevention is people who are dying by suicide don't really want to die. They just can't figure out how to live with the pain. So if we can help them remember why they don't want to die, perhaps they have a pet or a relationship, or they know the pain it would cause to the people they lose, or there's a solution we can help them problem solve later after we've listened to them, then oftentimes people will not make the choice because they need an opportunity to talk. And again, if you don't feel comfortable doing it but are concerned, you can call the crisis line at 800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. And you can talk to somebody there about your concern, or you can get the person that you're concerned about on the line to talk to them. So the biggest thing not to do is don't ever discount what somebody's saying. Don't ever tell them it's not a good idea or try to talk them out of it. Instead, listen to them and help them understand the reasons that they can get through it, what they might find on the other side, or what might happen to help them.
No, I understand that you are working basically for the government. Would you please describe what you do professionally?
Sure.
And are you available for calls from laymen, from people?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. Actually, I work for a nonprofit that is not associated with the VA. I work with an organization that works with homeless veterans called U.S. Vets. And we don't effectively, we do have some contracts with the government to house veterans or provide services. But where I work, we provide mental health, education, support, training, all for free based on the fact that we're supported by philanthropists through donations or foundations that allow us to work, who may be coming back from Afghanistan or Iraq, or who have been back, but they're transitioning and they are already at high risk because they've been exposed to potential trauma. And then they're going through a significant crisis and trying to reintegrate into the culture around them. So we work all day long. And if we do work with veterans and we provide mental health, we provide the opportunity and training for all our staff to be able to talk about that. Or if family members are concerned, they can call that same crisis line and press the number one, and they will get the veterans crisis line, which will connect them to somebody who can give them information. But I do that. I do also maintain a small private practice and am available at a very limited basis on somebody that would want to either get some help for somebody or get directed to some help, and I'm happy to take calls. So if you find more information, 273-8255, or just Google suicide hotline, it'll come up. If you'd like to speak with me directly, you can call my my work phone at 562-810-1040, 810-1040, and I'd be happy to talk with you. I've also worked with people who've lost some of the suicide, which is a significant grieving process as well. So, and I volunteer for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and I'm on the board of directors for the Greater Los Angeles chapter. So I can also point you to resources that can help you for free in many cases, and get you the help if you're not somebody who can avail yourself of private therapy. But happy to provide those resources. And if you want to go to afsp.org, afsp.org, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention has tons of resources as well. So if you're listening today, know that you may be the only person that has the information that may save somebody's life. And there's a lot of resources and help available for you.
And you deal with men and women.
I deal with everybody, men and
everybody.
Women, gay or straight,
well,
heterosexual, homosexual,
like
relationship. Yeah.
The military might sound like it's male, you know.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, Nonia, let me share that. We have a special program for women veterans at our organization.
Oh, that's
because,
so good.
Yeah, we are aware that women have not had the same access and support to treatment. So we have a program called Women Vets on Point, which provides free mental health, case management, connection to resources, no matter where you live in the United States. I privately don't work with veterans. Actually, my clinicians that work for me work with veterans. I work with men and women. They could be veterans or first responders, but I work with really anybody that's looking for mental health support or looking for relationship help. But my staff at my organization, and that's usvets.org, usvets.org, provides free resources across the country at 11 different sites, from housing veterans to free mental health, free training, free job support, a whole slew of services that we're privileged to provide based on the generosity of people who support our organization. So I've given you several organizations, one for veterans, usvets.org, One for Anybody, AFSP.org, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, or you can call me directly at 562-810-1040. I'm happy to help answer questions or give you support. Please do leave a message. I do get a lot of phone calls, and so I do message. I don't normally pick a phone and differentiate between what's a phone call for a person that I want to help versus a solicitation for health insurance. So please do leave a message if you call it, and don't get discouraged.
I want to tell you how proud I am of you, and I am amazed at what you're doing. And even if it's one person's life, it's somebody being saved by this process. So thank you. And I want everybody to know that I've invited Robert Storr to be on this show the first Thursday of the month at 4. If you have somebody that would like to listen to the podcast, it's been recorded, and we both will be back. So thank you so much, Robert Storr.
Well, thank you, Dr. Allen. Thank you for continuing to raise the awareness. The movement in suicide prevention is to destigmatize, make everybody aware that it's okay to talk about it, that there are tons of resources and ways to help people, and that people don't really want to die. They need our help to get through the crisis that they're in, and that's all we can do for them. So I appreciate, especially today, you getting the word out. That's an amazing public service. And I thank you for all you do, and especially for all you did for my life, and the fact that what you have to offer individuals across the globe is an amazing gift that I know works, that I've practiced for 30 years with couples, singles, and individuals. So people hang in there. The answers are here, and the support is here. And thank you for taking out. You guys have a great show.
Thank you, Robert. You are a blessing.
All right. Take care. Robert. Right back at you guys. Yes.
Bye-bye. Robert Storr, everyone. Robert is just an amazing human being. He's given you those resources. Please, please use them. I've lost 3 people to suicide, and Robert helped me through that. And I really encourage you, if you're having or facing a challenge, please reach out. Dr. Allen,
yes.
We are ready to get to work. And I believe we have got some calls in our queue. I want to just remind everybody, 323-203-0815 is the number to call to talk to Dr. Allen and get in the hot seat, get your questions answered. So we are off and running. All right. Here.
Hello.
Hi, hello. Caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hi, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do, yes. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Thank you for calling. If we didn't have callers, we would not show.
Yes, ma'am. So there is a guy who has been dating me, and he... yes, it's been great, but he is living an expat life now, and recently saw him, and he said that he's not the guy for me, at least this year. And so I don't know what I do going forward, like if I stay his friend and stay in touch. When he's not in touch, it's very difficult and painful for me. And when he is in touch, I'm not out looking for other guys. So would love some advice.
Well, is he really a person that you want to stop looking for a husband for? Are you a one-man woman?
What's most important is finding a husband. And he's not that this year. He's not available at all. He lives in Thailand.
I know that, but you sound like you are bonded to him. Have you had intercourse with him
No, he would not commit to a monogamous relationship continuous, so we did not have intercourse.
Okay, but you bonded. You know how bonding occurs. It's so interesting. Occurs the chemicals that are exuded by a body that your other body picks up from, and it bonds you. So it isn't intercourse necessarily that bonds you. It's just being near this person. Do you smell him? Because pheromones are smelling, even if they don't smell like roses, they smell. Your body knows, and you have a scent. You have an organ in your head that literally picks it up. So you have been bonded to him physically. How long have you smelled him?
We met in June of 21 and spent 2 weeks together, and then he traveled and then flew me to Thailand, and I spent 3 weeks with him over the holidays in Thailand.
Now, when was the last time you smelled him?
January 5th.
Of this year?
Yes, ma'am.
This process of being bonded, oxytocin, you see, what happens is the body wants you to be monogamous with him for the sake of any babies you create. And so what it does is when you are with somebody that your chemistry, which means his chemistry is a little like your biological father, but a little not like him. If he's too much like your father, he's not appropriate nature-wise. He won't be chemistry attractive. He won't be like your father. And if he's too much not like your father, he's not acceptable. But if he's the right combo, your body wants him whether you want him or not.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
But how often does he contact you? Does he contact you within 8 weeks?
He does. So after I left Thailand, he kind of got quiet for about 2 weeks and then started texting again, and texts probably every other day.
Now, texting and snail mail, that isn't chemically stimulating, but it's intellectually stimulating, so that you're reminded of your feelings with him. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And so what can I say to you other than you really can't taste, touch, smell, see, and hear him if you want to get on with the new man, because your body wants him?
So if I want to get on with a new man, do I tell this guy that he...
You can't be stimulated by him or smell him.
Okay.
And the length of time that I've picked up in this work is it takes you, like a death or a divorce, takes about 2 years to get over. But nature wants you to stay together if you have chemistry.
Mm.
You see? And because you haven't given him intercourse, he's still on the chase.
Oh, okay.
And you're still being hyper-stimulated. It's like being a chocolate addict and working in a donut shop.
I understand your body.
And so with that in mind, I'm going to ask you, what is your goal? Because I'm not going to ask you to not be in love with him if you want to be.
Well, I do want to, but he's not available, so it doesn't make any sense to me to.
But your body doesn't know that he's not available because he keeps calling you.
So then I need to tell him to not call me anymore.
No, darling, when you do that, you're acting like his mother. Now, look here, young man, don't you dare call me. You can't tell him what to do. That's male.
Okay.
Are you female or male?
I am female, and I want to be cherished for my feelings.
Okay. You already know Pat Allen, right?
Yes, I do.
And you've read Getting to I Do, right?
Yes, I have.
Well, I want you to know that what I'm doing is telling you, number one, the only way to get him to want you is to not give him the security of knowing that he already owns you. Not tasting, touching, smelling, seeing, or hearing.
Okay. And so what happens when he texts me?
When he texts you, first of all, the last time you talk to him, you're going to say, I want you to know that I'm going to block your call. I'm not going to respond to your letters, your texts. You tell him what you're not going to do. Women get what they want, especially sexually, if they know what they don't want.
Okay.
And what we're doing right now is I'm working with you on the physical science, not religious, not spiritual, just plain physical science of what it takes to be married to somebody. Or not. So
okay.
You are being a good, virtuous woman by not having intercourse. Because when you have intercourse, his penis triggers ultimately your pituitary gland into releasing a chemistry called oxytocin. Oxytocin is super glue. Sexually, if your pituitary releases that chemistry, you're bonding to his chemistry. That's what I've been talking about here.
Okay.
So this is not compatible with the laws of nature. You're supposed to be in his harem, in his ranch, in his wherever you live. Do you see? But instead, he periodically, intellectually triggers you with stimulating calls that remind you that he's still the man your body wants you to be with.
Okay.
So are you prepared to not be with him by your control, not his control? Don't you call me. When you tell him, don't you call me, it's waving a flag. You see?
Yes, I do. And yes, I am prepared to do that. So do I write him a hi bye letter and just say bye? And
I would
I'm not going to take the call.
You haven't written him a hi bye letter yet?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Because he hasn't been gone for eight weeks at any point in time.
Okay, oh, you're so good at me. Okay, well, I've done this for 51 years. So this
fantastic.
Is what we do. Have you the structure of a hi-bye letter?
I do, but you could remind me of it again because it's been a while.
I will do that. A hi-bye letter... I'm a transactional analyst. I'm impacted by Freud, who's a psychoanalyst, was, and I'm very, very impacted by Carl Jung in his analysis when he and Freud were partners until they split because they didn't agree to study. So giving you now is my technique for causing a crisis relationship to have an opportunity to consummate an engagement in a marriage, or to help you get over somebody, man or woman. Men do not bond until they're in their 50s and 60s and their testosterone has gone down and they're under the impact of estrogen, which diminishes in the 50s and 60s. Just like men go through andropause while women are going through menopause. So when women get past their menopausal period, they're on male hormones, and that's why we call them cougars, older women going with toy boy guys. So anyway, the five chapters, five paragraphs for a hi-bi letter, which is to, number one, set up boundaries around you that he realizes why you don't talk to him. You can answer the phone, but it will stimulate you and you will be basically horny for him very seriously for 3 days at least.
Yeah, that's happening.
And then it will diminish back to the level it's at, which is stimulatable again when he calls again. But smelling him is direct stimulation. Paragraph number one is everything you like, love, and lust about him.
Okay.
Paragraph two is the pain of not being with him physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, sexually.
Okay.
The third paragraph is basically what you don't want. I don't want to be bonded to you with no hope of marriage.
Okay.
Fourth paragraph. I want to be with the man mentally, emotionally, sexually, and is willing to be monogamous and to see me and call me and talk to me regularly. Do you see? Continuity, that is. And here's the biggie. The fifth paragraph, which is the bi paragraph. Hi is the first four paragraphs, which give an overview of a relationship. The fifth paragraph is, thank you so much for the attention you've given me. I respect the fact that you don't want to be with me working on a marriage, letting you know that from this day forward, when you call me, I may answer because I may not know it's you, but I am going to block your call and not stay on the phone when you call. I will do my best to set up boundaries around me so that I am not stimulated into feeling bonded to you when you have honestly told me that you're not looking for a bonding relationship. You simply want me to probably in me without a commitment for monogamy, continuity, And in my case, marriage. Do you want to marry somebody?
I do, yes.
All right. So that's what it is. Did you understand what I said?
I do, and I will definitely listen to this again. Can I add at the end that if he changes his mind and he wants a relationship, that he's welcome to call, and I'll be
absolutely
happy to take his
no,
call?
No, you put okay. that in that last paragraph. Thank you for wanting me, even if you don't want to build with me. And if you change your mind and decide that you want to be in a marriage-bound relationship monogamously and continuously, please feel free to call me. But then I'm going to withdraw your bondable technique.
Okay.
So you have my permission, and anybody else has my permission to receive, but don't call him.
Mm-hmm.
But be willing okay. to receive his calls and read his letters and do whatever. But don't reach out to him, because that would be you chasing him, mothering him into staying in this binding relationship for as long as until somebody steals you from him.
Okay.
All right. Did you get what you needed?
I did. That's exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. I really appreciate you.
I have a new book out. It's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe. And it has I-ness, we-ness, and us-ness, and the language used to be an individual, to be a couple, and to be in a marriage-bound or a committed relationship.
I need to pick that one up. I haven't gotten that one yet, so I will
Good.
Pick that up and start reading it, too.
Good. Excellent.
All right.
Okay. Well,
thank you, Dr. Pat. I really appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You, caller.
Welcome.
Thank you, Kelly. Bye.
Bye-bye. You're very welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, I think we've got some more calls in our queue, and I'll remind everybody that we are a 501c3 not-for-profit.
Please leave your
corporation.
Message.
You're taxed right off. So reach out to info@drpatallen.com to find out more about donating and keeping us on the air. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Hi, everyone. I do. There's some men that have been dating me, and recently I basically got a little bit uncomfortable because one of the men that was dating me was supposed to go on a date. And it was a few hours before the date that he hadn't provided me with the location, the address. That was like and I had asked him, you know, what is the address? And instead of him responding with the address, he basically just said like, "Oh, would you be more comfortable at my place?" So I was like, I was just very, like, destroyed by that, and I felt very uncomfortable. I just didn't feel well anymore, and I just was like, I'm not trying to meet this person because I just asked him for one simple question, and he just decided to go in that direction. So I just responded to him and said, "Hey, I'm not feeling well anymore. I don't want to go out anymore. I'm just going to stay in." And his response was like, "Oh, wow." And I did respond after that. And I wanted to hear what Dr. Pat's advice would be about that because,
Was he canceled the date at the end of your conversation?
I canceled it because I basically said, I was waiting on him to like send me information, but he wasn't sending me information, and that was like the second date.
Okay, so he wouldn't give you the information to go on the date. He sounds married.
Huh?
He sounds like he's married to somebody.
He's not, though. He's not married to anybody. That wasn't my first time.
Oh, you already know him well enough to know he's not married?
I asked him while he was single on the first date, and he said he had broken up with somebody a couple back.
A single man that wouldn't give you a meeting place.
Yeah, instead when I asked him specifically for the meeting place, he was like, oh, would you be more comfortable at my place? So I was just like, this is very rude and I don't like it. So I just responded with, I'm not coming out anymore. And I didn't really talk to him after that.
Well, he may be living with somebody. Do you know him well enough to know if he's living with the woman?
I know he has housemates.
Well, he may not want them to know you, and he may not want you to know where they are.
So he was inviting me over to his, he was basically inviting me over to his place instead of giving me the address for originally meeting at like a restaurant. Since we had originally scheduled.
Wait a minute, he gave you the address?
No, he didn't give me the address. I asked for the address, and instead of giving me the address, he responded with the response of, would you be more comfortable coming to my place? So,
he wanted to come to your place, yeah, because
his place.
I still hear married man or man with girlfriend at home.
No. It's okay. His place. He asked, so I asked him for the address, and he said, would you feel more comfortable at my place? Which I did not feel
more
comfortable.
He's more comfortable at your place because his girlfriend isn't there.
No, his place.
He said to come to his place or him come to your place?
His place. Me going to his place.
Okay. So why didn't you go?
Because because originally we had said we were going to go to a restaurant and have dinner and have wine. But then when I was asking
and
for
would you have to drink? Do you understand that what he was saying was, I'm willing to entertain you at my place. I was on a track where he didn't want you to come to his place. And now I'm finding out he wanted you to come, but you thought he was a rapist.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable going to his place, but I felt like, I felt very uncomfortable with that question because all I was asking was, can you give me the address for the place you have been saying we're going to go? And I basically want to make sure, because this was going to be our third date. I'm just getting to know him. I don't want to go to his place. I don't know. Like
he
said, he's a rapist.
How were you going to get to his place unless he came and took you there? If he didn't give you the address.
We were going to meet at a restaurant, so I was going to drive myself there, right?
Okay. So what I'm hearing is you are not willing to date men because did something bad happen to you when you were a kid?
No.
Where did you get this man's phone call? Did you go on a dating app? What Where did you find him?
We met on a dating app, and then we went on 2 dates. And we were planning the 3rd date. And instead of him, you know,
so you were confirming. You went on 2 dates with him. Not your place, not his place, but out there, restaurant someplace.
Yes.
Did your guts tell you he was dangerous?
I think, no, my gut didn't tell me he was dangerous, but my feeling is just the fact that he said he wants something serious, and I don't get that vibe from him, because I'm like, if you want something serious, you should be getting to know me more instead of inviting me to your place. And like, I said that, and then I responded with, I'm not comfortable, I'm not feeling well anymore. And his response wasn't, you know, like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, like, coming to my place wasn't the brightest idea. He just said, oh, wow, you know, I wanted to know what to respond to him, because I'm willing to meet up with him again, but I'm not willing to go to his house anytime, like at least 3rd, even 4th date. I really want to get to know him more.
I appreciate that. Has he called you since you didn't go there?
No, he texted me, oh, wow, yesterday, and I haven't responded. So I was like, I'm going to talk to you today, hopefully, and I'll hear what you recommend.
Okay, well, what I meant, telling him the truth, I'm afraid to not be safe at this early in a relationship, but I realize that that's my feelings, and you have a right to ask me to come over, but I would feel better if we went and met in a restaurant again. Where did you have your dates the last 2 times?
It was a restaurant, and it was 2 restaurants, but one was just restaurant, and then the second one was restaurant and beach. We were walking by the beach.
So you were out in a safe place, because I don't necessarily hear somebody your address. Can be dangerous.
I agree.
He might be afraid. Let's say, so he's called you and wants to see you still.
Yes.
How will you know when you're safe enough to either go to his place for dinner or him come to your place for dinner?
I just feel like I'll have a gut feeling. And then probably be if he becomes like top of my list of guys that I'm roster dating, probably. Yeah.
Have you ever been married?
No.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay, so you're a young woman, and you're looking for a good man.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, are you only going to go to restaurants for dates?
I'm willing to go anywhere public, right?
But that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You don't,
I hear you. I get it.
What?
Sorry, go ahead.
You don't want any, like, you don't want to see where he lives.
I do, but maybe on the 5th or 6th date. Maybe when I feel like I'm really liking him.
I appreciate that, except I want to know what happened to you that caused you to be afraid of men that you like.
I was just, for me personally, I was bullied a lot when I was a kid. But it wasn't only guys, it was also girls. So it's not, nothing sexually happened to me. But I was definitely bullied, and I just kind of grew up being a pretty shy kid. And so I do have just this fear that people, you know, could always hurt me. But I was black or chick. I have a feeling value, then I'm willing to open up more, I guess.
I think this gentleman was a little disarmed when you asked for the address, when he asked you to come over and you said no. So he picked up a positive message in that you were talking to him, but he picked up a negative message that you need to research him. So would you be so kind as to just tell him, I'm afraid of being too private with you this early. So if you're interested in getting to know me, I would be comfortable in public places. Tell him the truth of why you're asking for his address and no, you're not coming over.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Yes, I will.
Good. That means you'll be telling the truth so that the two of you can agree for both of your comforts. He thought he was comforting you, inviting you over, and you thought he was scaring you by not giving you his address.
Yes, the address of the restaurant.
Pardon?
Yes, the address of the restaurant, yes.
Okay. So with that in mind, tell him the truth about your fear. What's that?
Oh, sorry, what was your question? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't ask a question. I was just saying, you're going to, when he calls you, you're going to tell him your truth.
Okay, I will. So my second question and my last question, is another guy that I'm also roster dating basically made a comment that I have like a pretty, like, he's always like, oh, you have a pretty social life, meaning like, if I'm not going on a date, I'm usually going out with my girlfriend to have dinner. And he always made those like slight mean comments. And I basically always like go as a potential relationship because a lot, he barely has a social life. And in my previous relationship, I barely had a social life and he made me miserable. So now I really want to be able to, like you always advise, right? Have friends, have work, have a person you love. So I'm very happy now with how I'm more social, being a shy kid. But he made those very slight comments, almost mean comments all the time. And I really, really feel like I want to cut him off because I feel like that's going to be a problem if we were to continue. So I wanted to also hear kind of like what you think of him. And why do you,
do you want to be respected by your men or cherished?
Cherish.
But you sound like you want respect.
I don't want to be.
This man controls. He came across too controlling. That was because
judging.
You were always busy.
It's not even that, Dr. Pat. I had COVID for 3 weeks, and I didn't have COVID. I had a cold. I tested negative, but I was at home for 3 weeks, and I finally went out because I felt better, and I went for a friend's birthday, And, you know, he made that comment even then. And I was.
I want you to only do what you're comfortable doing, except that some men might not like that if it never allows you to do something like a date in his home or him wanting you to date him instead of your girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be respected?
No, I want to be cherished.
Then would you be willing to decide if you want to get to know these people?
Okay. Thank
if
you so
like
much.
Them,
I really...
I'm just saying that it sounds like you live in fear of dating.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I do have fear in general, but I think you're right also.
Well, then would you be willing to date people that you feel comfortable with instead of setting up rules and regulations for them?
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm picking up here. But you have every right to not date on their terms. You have every right to say no.
Sounds good. Thank you. I wanted to make sure that.
Well, yeah, see if you're wanting to know
I will text him and I will let him
you
know.
You sound
about...
very safe dating your girlfriends.
Yeah, because I was by myself during like lockdown, and I was just very lonely, and I just was like, I don't want to feel that lonely again in my life. And I had a boyfriend at a time who was just like always so busy. So I was super, you know, I felt so lonely, and I tried to talk to him about it, but he was so busy. But I just, now I'm not trying to meet my girlfriend and stuff, you know, my potential partner. I just like, because this is an example to Dr. Pat. I met my girlfriend on Friday, and I was going to meet him on Saturday, and my girlfriend wanted to meet on Saturday, so I told him, no, I'm going on a date on Saturday. But on Friday, when I told him I went to meet my friend, he was like, he said that, and I was like, this guy is weird, because I made sure that on the day that he said we were going to go on a date, I made sure that date was available and I would go with him. But he made that comment about my girlfriend, and I feel like that's because he doesn't have a social life and he's okay with that, which I feel like it's just going to restrict me. Like, he really stays at home like all the time. So I feel like you said, I need to date people that are like me.
So with that in mind, follow your feelings.
What is the question again?
It wasn't a question. I'm just telling you what you're doing is taking good care of yourself. But what the men are saying to you is too much control on your part, and they want to be respected.
Okay.
So see if there's somebody that might be nice enough to date.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Have good luck.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Bye. You've got comments again. If you want to sign up for our groups, reach out to info@drpatallen.com via email. Hello, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you?
Oh, there he is, Brian.
It's been a whole... I don't want to stay away for that long. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
Are you getting a girlfriend?
Well, I'm working on it. I suppose I have to date people to get there. And I did go on a date Saturday with somebody. I'd seen her pictures, so I had a feeling I was going to be attracted to her. But when I got there, she looked better than her picture. That was not a good time we had. I made sure that I, you know, told her about, you know, that I did find her attractive. But, you know, it was a first date. It was outside. And at the end, I thought I got a lukewarm response coming back, but then when we talked a couple of days later, after her birthday, she did sound interested in going out again. I'm getting used to her communication style, and I don't know. I wonder if she may be shy. I'm not sure, but tonight I'm going to ask her out for something else, although I've already made plans to get together with her the weekend afterwards, but I'm going to see if she's available this weekend to do something.
What you're saying is you picked up an aura of him to the girl before you, but you're pursuing to see if she'll relax and date you. I just want to build from that call I just dealt with to this one, which is you, the man, saying she was kind of cool towards me, but I'm going to ask her anyway. This is what I'm talking about.
I thought she was being cool, but I'm also not used to her communication style yet either. So it may be possible that that's how she is. And since probably lately happened stuff where I think it's flirting, maybe she doesn't, you know, put it out there as strongly as some other women that I've been around. And I realize, hey, we're early along in the process too. So I really am getting to know her communication style. But again, she's the one that said she feels very comfortable talking to me.
Good. So what you're doing is just becoming friends, which is the basis of every relationship that goes anywhere, especially marriage.
Yeah, that's important. Although, I don't want it to go into the friend zone. So I'm thinking in the maybe not this next time, but the time afterwards that, hey, I've certainly said that I'm attracted to her, but, doing something else. But there's not an urgency to do that quickly. I had a question, you know, because I have some other people that are in the mix, somebody else I could talk to tonight. But from her pictures, the one that I dated, definitely attractive. The other ones, I've seen pictures and seen them over, you know, talking back and forth over video. And I don't think I'm visually attracted. You know, if I got in person with them, you know, with the idea of smelling and
pheromones,
chemistry, that
pheromones.
That may up it, but I'm wondering from a male perspective, do you think it's worth me going out with somebody that
at first glance, I'm not visually attracted to.
Because or the glance is a picture. It's not
well, so I've seen, you know, what they look like talking to me over, okay, you know, so a century.
You have gotten to know them through the computer talk.
A little bit, yes. Very little,
men generally pick with their eyes. Harvard did that study, and they asked men and women, why did you mate, why did you marry? Two-thirds of men mate and marry for sensuous home and sexually available security. One-third of men mate and marry for stature, I want to be married, and financial security. And my wife's dad owns blah, blah, and I work for him. And I like for stature and security. A man that can afford to have a wife and a couple of kids. One-third of women, especially older women, want sensuous and sexual security. They've got their own jobs, they've got their own money, and they want to be cherished. So with that in mind, how are you doing? Do you want to take a risk and date somebody that has some other financial gain if they don't look good?
I think I have been at that point at other times in my life. But these other women that I'm mentioning, yes. I don't think any of them, well, she may, I don't know, but she's an engineer and she's coming off a little wooden. We haven't interacted a lot, but I did say that I would reach out to her this week, and I did, and she texted back and said she was available to talk. But my goal is first to make, you know, the date with, you know, with my number one this weekend first, and then we'll see what happens the rest of the time. But the other women I'm talking to that I don't consider terribly attractive visually, and that's another thing, is sometimes I think I get too caught up in the visual part and have to sit back and say, hey, I got to take in the whole person to really make a decision if this is a good match for me.
Exactly right. That's the reason that I recommend don't make a throwaway judgment unless a little bit. Sometimes the chemistry doesn't emerge, especially in women. Like our first caller was talking about apprehension and security, so that basically 3 dates will give you a good insight into chemistry that you do or don't have. If you don't have it, then I suggest you say, I really appreciate your friendship and dating, but I don't have the chemistry that I know I need for romance. So if you want to date me as a friend, fine. But I don't want to use you and I don't want to lead you on that I'm falling in love.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to do the 3 dates because we're the ones paying for stuff, and that it was more that the duty dating was more for women with men.
No, I don't recall the stress on that. What I recall is I recommend that you, especially if you're a woman who's very masculine at work, engineer, you might want to give them 3 dates before you cancel them. But I do agree with what I said to you that you heard, that men generally, like you right now, this very minute, are deciding whether your eyes will tell you to take a chance on this lady. You seem doing exactly what I'm saying, and I did say. you're slightly interested. Well, if you don't have much going, maybe it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I have two that I've communicated with, and I like the way that they express themselves, which is good. But from what I've seen, I'm wondering. But I also think, okay, I could get together with them for coffee, or when I have another idea with, to see if there's anything there when you sit down and that stuff happens. But I'm definitely still keeping my eyes open, and there's certainly a lot of opportunities out there in the world, that's for sure.
All right. So are you going to talk to all the women tonight or not?
Oh, no, not all the women tonight. That would be too much at once.
There were a couple of women.
Yes. So I'm going to reach out to the one that I met, that's my number one, and say, are you available to get together on Sunday? Because that's, the weather's going to be nice, and there's a nice garden that we could go to that's halfway between both of our places. And then maybe I'll reach out to the engineer, the other one that I met, because I think she's going away on the weekend, and this is the night that she's available. And then the couple of others, I think I would reach out to at another time. Although one of them reached out and invited me to breakfast, and I said, no, I'll talk to you another time.
That's because you recommend.
Yes. She was starting to ask me out, and exactly from what you have reiterated a lot of times. Plus, I really wasn't available then. But again, her and I have some things in common. But yeah, we'll see if there's enough attraction level.
Good. All right. So, did you get your conversation that you needed?
Yes. You always do the job for me. I appreciate it, Dr. Pat.
All right. Then good luck tonight.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Welcome.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Okay. Let's see. I think we've got another caller. And we do. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Kay. Dr. Allen, how are you?
Hello,
I'm fine. Thank you for the program and the work you do. I have a question. About attraction and chemistry. And I would like to ask you if you think that men have a specific type of women they are attracted to, a specific physical type. And I'm asking this question because there's a man I'm very attracted to, and his first wife was a brunette. His second wife was even more brunette because she was of mixed race. And I'm proudly blonde with fair skin and green eyes. So just wondering, do you think there's a specific that I...
Did you talk about hair?
Hair, the skin color.
It's more, interestingly enough, it's men are, their eyes pick congruency. And congruency has to do with too thin, too fat. The body, men basically like women that look like they like themselves. In other words, their bodies are in shape. Do you see? And
yes.
Because of that, then they date. But when they date, they go into a chemistry world where what you look like goes submissive to what the chemistry calls. It's very interesting. If you've ever had the experience of somebody said, I've met the most gorgeous man. And then yes. You meet him and he's not gorgeous to you.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yes, I see.
Pheromones and chemistry is different. Men look at congruency.
Yes.
And then the pheromones impact them quite quickly
yes.
as to whether they're chemically attracted.
Mm-hmm.
But the attraction yes. has nothing to do with black, brown hair or with chemistry. Your gene pool mm-hmm. and his gene pool, are they compatible yes. or too compatible? Or not compatible mm-hmm. enough to
yes.
trigger a response.
Yes, I think I triggered a response, and I'm fairly certain he's attracted to me, but he's not taking action on the attraction. So what should
he's
I conclude?
Not, he's not dating you?
No, he's not dating me. I see him on a training that I'm taking. He's one of the trainers, actually, and I'm a trainee. So in the beginning, I thought, well, maybe it's the situation that we're in and we met that he doesn't pursue the attraction, or maybe he doesn't know me enough.
Maybe he doesn't have the chemistry.
And is it possible that he has the attraction but not the chemistry?
If the attraction is based on, for example, you said you're an attorney, he may want an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that he wants a woman who basically is a good, secure person financially for him.
Okay.
Rather than having good sex with.
Mm-hmm.
Men are very impacted.
Yes, yes, I do.
Okay, and women are very, very susceptible to affection and love. You see?
Yes.
So you'll find a woman that
yes.
is willing to be with a man that's not as congruent as he might want to be, but he's affectionate. See, we're either trying to get laid or paid.
Yes. Well, he's also a widow. He still has his wedding band in his finger. So I don't know if maybe that has a lot to do with it, or don't you think? What do you think? That
well,
maybe the reason?
Have you dated him at all? Has he asked
no,
you
no,
out?
No.
Well, then, you might be chemically attracted to him, but he's not responding with his.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So maybe
I'm wasting my time.
I want you not to waste your time. I want you to date him if he asks you, and
yes.
two others at least.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he has my email. I guess he could ask for my phone number, I guess. But
who asked for it? Did he ask for it?
No. He didn't. I said he knows my email. He could ask for my phone, but he hasn't done it.
I want you to know a man who's interested in courting you is going to do what he has to do to get the number from you or from wherever. That's
mm-hmm.
just part of courtship.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They are pretty quick in doing that. Okay.
Yes. Do you want to be respected as an engineer or a lawyer, or do you want to be cherished as a woman physically?
I want to be cherished. And
therefore, you would do best with a man that wants to be respected. Because mm-hmm. if you want to be cherished and he wants to be cherished, we've got too much feminine.
Okay.
If you want to be respected, here's the biggest problem in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do men want to be respected, but many, many women do too. And that no. can cause a lot of competition.
Yes, yes.
Without so what I do is, in my book, Getting to I Do, I teach yes. people, look, if you want to be respected, find mm-hmm. somebody that wants to be cherished, whether it's straight, gay, or lesbian. If you want to be cherished, find someone who wants to be respected. People that are respectable do good mm-hmm. to feel good. They're the ones that are the engineers and the attorneys. People who want to be cherished, for example, when men are artists or musicians or actors, they're very feminine. Creativity in a man, the anima, is very feminine. For women who want to be respected, they have their soul, which is the animus. In fact, there's a book, Anima, Animus, by Emma Jung, Carl yes. Jung's wife. And mm-hmm. it's about men have male bodies. They may look like powerful men, but their soul, which is the anima, is very sensitive. So they may not be as respectable as creatively people in every relationship.
That's true.
Two male and two female. But they have to learn to communicate from their position. Mm-hmm. Do you see? So
yes.
do you want to be respected first, cherished second, or cherished first, respected second?
I want to be cherished, but I know that I'm an alpha. I've read the book.
Okay.
I know that I'm an alpha,
but
I
do
think
you, do you speak feminine? You
yes,
can
I can fake
feminine.
Fake. Yes, yes.
Do you want to hear the tools for speaking feminine?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Don't ask men you respect that you're dating how they feel. Are you mad? Are you sad? Pay attention
mm-hmm.
if they're throwing up or bleeding. That's physical. What can I do to
yes.
help you feel better? But if they're men, when you say, how do you feel, they
mm-hmm.
will feel mothered and
yes.
not like that because you're not respecting them. Do you see?
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
And men who ask women, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a lawyer. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Gee. Because they want someone who's has a good male approach, and they want that because they want to be cherished. Now that those people fit together.
This man is well over 50, and I turned 50 last November. So
he's going female with age, andropause, and you're going male.
Yes, I know that.
So
But I will not send him an email or ask him for whatever I want. I think I should not do that.
Well, don't mother unless he wants a mother. The second tool is when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question a man you respect, please make an appointment for the subject and the convenient time to talk.
Mm-hmm.
The third rule, if he's irritating you with some behavior or something he's saying, tell him he has every right to do that, but it's turning you off. And if he wants to turn you off, fine. But if he doesn't, would he please not do that, either do or say?
Okay.
That's the third tool. The fourth tool is 90% of all communication is basically body language, tones of voice, gesturing, posturing, facial expressions. What you say to him is, I sense by the look on your face you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes or no? Yes, you're right. What can I do to help you and I do better? Do you hear that?
Yes.
Or
yes,
if it's a woman, what can I do to help you and I feel better?
Okay. That makes enormous difference in the communication.
The fifth tool is that tool is when you the fifth tool is when you signal him with your hands. Have you ever been to a ball game when the referee puts a timeout?
Yes.
The tool when you're afraid to talk. And he says, what are you doing that hand thing? Because I'm uncomfortable with what you're saying or what you're doing. When you're not comfortable making an appointment to say something painful, then do your hand sign.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
So those are that. So with that in mind, how are you going to operate differently? And remember, everybody's male at work.
Yes, and this helps even at work. I'm using the tools, and they help a lot.
Everybody's feminine. Remember the following Upanishad. What culture are you from?
Sorry?
What culture are you from?
I'm European. I'm from Portugal.
Okay. Because very often people are scripted by their culture, their religion, their this.
Yes.
Do you see? So I want to say something for the benefit of you and whoever's listening. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Be aware of your words, for they become habits.
Yes.
Be aware of your habits. They become your character, becomes your destiny in making money.
Yes.
Second, in being well, there's a wonderful book by Gabor Mate, and it's called When the Body Says No. So that one says, you know, when the body says no, it's basically sharing that particular element. So with that in mind, every relationship you have that's loving, loving relationships allow you to be masculine and feminine as long as you know how to balance respect and sharing.
Because I'm an alpha and the book helped me a lot.
I understand that. I want to give you a book that's just come out recently.
Okay.
It's called Feeling and Knowing. Can you hear the feminine and masculine?
Antonio Damasio.
But you've already, you've heard me or you've already got
the
book?
Yes, I've heard you talk about the book. Yes, it's Portuguese.
Have you started to read it yet?
No, I haven't bought it, but it's on my list.
Okay. One that's really beautiful about feelings and intellectualism.
Yeah.
We have two minds. One of our minds is run by our Upanishads. No, excuse that word. Anyway, okay. Norepinephrine.
Mm-hmm.
Impactors, dopamine, serotonin, GABA, those. And men in particular have intuition and they have 21 genes when they're conceived that enhance intuition. Women, more often than not, run on their norepinephrine, dopamine, serotonin. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes,
so
with
that in mind.
Yes.
Good luck.
Well, thank you. Just this situation about this man. I think I will keep doing what I'm doing if you agree that he's smiling. And be pleasant and be
smile. Safe. Look him in the eyes and smile.
Okay. And the training will end in May. So if anything happens. If nothing happens. And
right. But make an effort.
Yes, I will. Well, thank you, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome.
Nice to hear you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, caller. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. So we only have a few on the board. Let me see. I don't know. Let me ask them if we have time for another call. We may not, but we'll see. We'll see what he has to say. So if you want to sign up for one of our groups or one of Dr. Pat's life script appointments, you can reach out to info@drpatallen.com. And let me see. He says we may have time for a short call. So let's see what we can
all
get.
Right. Do it.
All right. That would be awesome. Awesome. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a quick question?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Pat.
Thanks for calling.
I had a question. I called a few weeks ago about my boyfriend who, he ended up giving me the promise ring and we consummated the relationship, but now he is like avoiding having sex with me. I'm wondering what's that about.
What is he doing?
He is not initiating intercourse now that he has given me the promise ring.
Because he's not ready to consummate. Are you dating him? Oh, yes, you did have sex with him. You did make love?
Yeah, and then it stopped.
Well, did you have chemistry?
We've been together for 5 months.
5 years?
5 months.
What did you say, 5 years?
Months, 5 months.
Five dates?
5 months.
Months. 5 months.
Oh, yeah. 5 months. You've been together and you were making love.
Mm-hmm.
And now he doesn't. Has he said anything?
Yeah.
What did he say?
No. He doesn't say anything. And he's still affectionate and very cuddly, but he doesn't want to take it further.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he really was pushing his buttons to get to make love to you. I'm positive mm-hmm. that the beginning of a love affair is from the end with age. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Is he affectionate generally?
Yes.
Okay. Does he make love once a week?
No.
And that's happened when?
It's been a couple of weeks now.
A couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you ready to go for a crisis question or not?
That's what I was wondering. When do I know that I'm ready to go to crisis?
When you know that he's doing something that you're uncomfortable with.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I'm ready to go to crisis.
Then what you will do is you will say, whatever his name is, I won't ask for Mr. X. I have a question to ask you that's very sensitive. Are you willing to listen? What would he say?
He'd say, yep.
Is now a good time, or do you want a more convenient time to listen? What would he say?
He would say now.
Okay. You would say, I totally appreciate that you agreed to be a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. That's what you agreed to. Is that true?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. But I'm now aware that we haven't made love in a couple of weeks. Have you fallen out of love with me?
Okay, yeah.
How do you feel about asking that?
I'm comfortable and I'm ready for the answer, positive or negative.
Okay. So if you're ready for yes or no, it may be that he had a rush of sexual interest, but it didn't hold up.
Okay.
But he still likes you. Would you be willing to let him up it and not say anything to him until he says, I don't want sex for whatever reason?
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Which one would you prefer?
The second option. Wait.
The second option you're going to appreciate, but be sure you stress how much you appreciate the affection.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Okay.
Perfect. Good. Okay, it's time for us to go. Thank you, caller. Dr. Pat, real quick before we have to leave, what do you got to say?
while I say my own thing that I love, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the and keep.
Indeed. We will be back next week. We love y'all. And until then, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.